With David Hyde, I'm Marcy Silman, and you're on the record here on KUOW. Later this hour, I'm going to be talking with sports writer Art Thiel about the Apple Cup. For college football fans in Washington, the Apple Cup is the biggest game of the year.
And college football is also a big moneymaker. It raked in over $50 million here in Washington State in 2011. And University of Washington head football coach here is the highest paid state employee. He earned $2.7 million in 2012. That's about 20 times more than the average UW professor.
I saw that in the newspaper recently. It was kind of a shocking number.
It's high. Yeah. Earlier, I spoke with Buzz Bissinger about this. He's the author of the book Friday Night Lights about high school football. And he thinks the amount of money that's being spent on sports is undermining the academic mission of colleges and universities.
I don't mean to sound like the Grinch, but I think increasingly college sports are almost subsuming the academic process. I think we forget that colleges and universities are, they're academic institutions. They're not sports institutions kind of posing as academic institutions. There's too much money involved. There's too much emphasis. Schools are already about diversion. And I think, you know, when you have a big time football or basketball program, it kind of sucks all the air out of the room, and it becomes the focus of too many students.
I want to get to the finance aspect of this in a minute, but for students, you know, there are sports scholarships. That's a huge part of how some people actually get to go to college. How do you replace that? How do you solve that problem?
Well, I'm all in favor of that, and I think I've been looking at this for really ever since I wrote Friday Night Lights, so I guess 20, 25 years. In the so-called minor sports, the sports that don't produce any revenue, you know, these kids use those scholarships in most cases, and they do well with them. But if you look in the major sports, and there are really only two that produce money, one's football, the other is men's basketball, you know, graduation rates are very, very deceiving. You can get anyone to graduate, and there was a push to boost them up, and I think they've done that. But I've spoken to a lot of people who played, you know, Division I basketball and football, and they say, you know what, we really don't have time to go to school. It's a 365 a day occupation, and because the rules in college basketball, you can play 1 year and go to the pros. So you have this circumstance. The University of Kentucky, when they won the national championship, all five freshmen, you know, left the school. I mean, even Bobby Knight said, "What's the point of them going to school if they're going to play 1 year and then jump to the NBA?"
Mm. College football in Washington State is also a huge business, raked in over $50 million in 2011. And we contacted Dick Harmon about this earlier. He's a sports columnist for the Deseret News.
I don't think that 65,000 people would pay $70 a person to go and watch, say, an engineering symposium. No, not on a Saturday afternoon. TV paying millions of dollars on a weekend for the rights of broadcasting a game, that would not be duplicated. It's like comparing apples and oranges.
So an engineering symposium would not rake in the money the way sports does. Buzz Bissinger, what's your response?
Well, I mean, that's all fine and good, and it's great if the money really goes back in the $50 million that he's talking about into the general fund of the university, whether it can lower student fees, whether it can lower tuition, whether it can be used to buy a new building for, I guess, the engineer symposium that he thinks is not really that important. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't. Only a quarter of NCAA schools, their athletic departments, make money overall. Most of them lose money. And all that revenue from football and basketball is generally used to pay for the so-called minor non-revenue producing sports. So it's, you know, it's great for those spectators, I guess. But, you know, what is the school getting out of it? And there's a fallacy about, you know, it increases alumni giving. You do get single donors like Phil Knight at the University of Oregon who will give a lot of money to the school, both for sports and other academic interests. But for the general person, if they're going to give it to the school because they have a great football season, they're going to give it to the athletic department.
So your thought is there's only so much money in people's piggy banks, and they're only going to donate so much to the university, and now it's going towards sports that, and it might otherwise be going towards the academic side of universities and colleges?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for instance, Penn State got it may have been its largest individual gift. I'm frankly not sure, but they got about $35 million. That's a lot of money. The money was specifically targeted to start a Division I hockey program at Penn State. Now, no school's going to turn down money, but I would argue that Penn State, which I think has 28 to 30 Division I sports as it is, I don't think they really need a Division I hockey program. And as you know, student fees are going up, often to pay for sports, and tuition is going up. It would be great if that money was earmarked for, you know, something else.
All right. Well, beyond just the colleges themselves, sports columnist Dick Harmon says it's not just the schools that benefit from these games.
To a lot of these big college towns, all these communities benefit from a college football day. I know from where I am from in Provo that it's generally about $1 million in the local economy that's produced by a football game.
So local businesses would be hurt. Buzz Bissinger, what do you think?
I think he makes a good argument there, and I think that's true, and I think that's true in any kind of, you know, small college town. It's certainly true in State College. It's obviously true out where he is. I imagine it's certainly true in Washington State. And, you know, I think that is a good argument. But is it a good enough argument when you have these schools, you know, not only spending millions and millions of dollars, but also, in ironically, getting millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, because of TV contracts? It really means that in some ways you're captive to ESPN. You have college football coaches. I think the average salary is about $2.5 million a year. Their salaries have gone up roughly 128% in the past 5 years. The college president's salary has gone up 14%. And there are not many college presidents out there who are making $2 million a year. Virtually none of them are, but you have some college coaches making, you know, $5 or $6 million a year, and that doesn't include the salaries for assistants, which is even higher. So in Alabama, overall salaries are probably $7 or $8 million. That's a lot of money.
Buzz Bissinger is the author of the book Friday Night Lights, explaining why he thinks colleges should divorce themselves from sports. Another argument that you hear is, look, colleges, a lot of community surrounds sports in cities like Seattle, but the colleges themselves. What about that community aspect of this? I mean, you've written about it. How important is that, and what do you do to replace it?
Well, the community aspect is important. You know, all communities, frankly, big and small, want to rally around something. And, you know, I can condemn it all I want. I also have to tell you that when I wrote Friday Night Lights, those games at the high school I wrote about, Permian High School, were the most exciting sporting events I've ever seen. But, you know, as I say, should colleges be spending, you know, all this money, you know, so people can go to a football game and feel good about the Huskies or feel good about the Ducks? I mean, to me, it all goes back to this is the most competitive society that we've ever had because of global competition. The United States is the only country in the world that looks to colleges as a major source of sports entertainment. So reduce the volume. You know, University of Chicago opted out of the Big Ten in the 1930s. People went nuts. But the president was adamant. He said, this has nothing to do with academics. Chicago has gone on to become, I think, the seventh top-ranked university in the world. It has the most Nobel Prize winners in the world. And you know what? They now have a nice, competitive Division III program. The kids care. They certainly don't have the fan base. And they also play, you know, a local schedule. I mean, how are you going to study when you're going East Coast, West Coast, South, North, whatever, and you're leaving Thursday, and you're going to spend the whole week in school thinking about the next football game? You're not going to think about academics. I mean, you're not.
All right, Buzz Bissinger, thanks so much for telling us about it.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Buzz Bissinger is the author of Friday Night Lights and a former reporter for the New York Times Magazine and Sports Illustrated. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman.